Let's go to John 3. And we're going to read verses 16 and 17 together. And then our media department is going to put up John 13, 34 and 35 out of the voice so we can all read that one together. Okay? So let's read John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And folks, we always have to remember that we were not placed in this world to condemn anybody of anything. We were placed here so that the world, through our presenting Jesus, might be saved. Okay, now let's look at John 13, 34 and 35, and let's read that together. So I give you a new command. Love each other deeply and fully. Remember the ways that I have loved you and demonstrate your love for others in those same ways. Everyone will know you as my followers if you demonstrate your love to others. And hallelujah goes right there. Okay. Now would you go please to Romans 12? Because this has been one of the foundations for this series, which is called Renewing Your Mind. And I'm going to start out moving quickly, so please try and stay with me. If you don't, it's okay. You can go back on the website and see it or hear it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I particularly like the Message Bible's translation of that scripture. It says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. I'm going to stop right there because that's what we do. We'll just, hey, this is who I am, this is how I act. No, we have to stop and we have to think about just what is it that we're doing. Go quickly, please, to 2 Corinthians. Well, before we go there, I'm moving too quickly. We already know that Hebrews tells us that in order to come to God, you must first do what? Believe that he is. And Matthew 16, Jesus told us, he gave us our identity, did he not? What did he tell us? That we are the church. And we're founded on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, and it's so key to understand that the reason we're here is because we believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And if we're not thinking about that all of the time, we're going to cause some problems for us and others. Because everything we say, everything we do, should be based upon our belief that Jesus is the Christ. Amen. And I am his representative. Amen. So everything I do should reflect Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Christ said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. So if I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking about that all of the time, why am I fretting about stuff? Why am I getting excited when the enemy raises his head? I already have a guarantee from the Christ that the gates of hell shall not prevail. So who cares if he speaks loud or loudly? Okay. Who cares how big he may present himself? As Pastor Ed says, he's still going down. Okay. I mean, that's just the way it is. Why? Because we're the church. And we believe it. And if we believe it, see, I can't speak for everyone else, but everything that I ever thought about me, I acted like it. Thank you, Deborah. And everything I believed that about me wasn't always good. But if I believed it, I acted like it. Simple. You know the analogy I always use? I really believe that I'm married. Don't I act like it?
Yes.
Okay. All the time. All the time. All right. He that has an ear. Okay. All right. Okay, so in the book, the Transformed Life, one of the things I'm looking forward to is getting past this, because I read this excerpt every day. I'm going to actually get the chance to read the whole book one of these days. But it's not that I'm stuck here. I just see more every time I read it. It says, becoming a Christian ignites the process of transformation. Your relationship with God, eternal destination, and true self become new. Yet even with all these wonderful changes, we are left in the world, remain in a body, and stuck with a mind that's pretty much the same. I mean, once we make the confession, our mind is the same. And everything that was in it is still there. We have to do something to change it. And it doesn't just require change. Personal transformation requires radical change. That's why folks think we're crazy. When we were in the world and we received Jesus Christ and we learned some things and start acting like it, folks start saying, what's the matter with you? Well, I'm radically changing. Okay. It has been said that the only things you can count on in this world is that nothing stays the same. You can change your address, your job, your wardrobe, your friends. You can even change your name, but your life will not transform until you change the way you think. And on Wednesday, we learned that we're not mere human beings. We're not. And because we're not mere human beings, we are not restricted by the principles of humanity. And that's something we have to understand. You say, well, what do you mean? Right? Are you at 2 Corinthians 5? I'm going to share verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a
new creature.
That's right, a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. The Bible in basic English says, so if any man is in Christ, he's in a new world. The old things have come to an end. They have truly become new. I like the Phillips translation. For if a man is in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. I need everybody to say that. Say, my past
is finished and gone.
And that's very important. And I'm going to come back to this at the end of the service. Okay. Everything has become fresh and new. So we're new people altogether. We live in a new world. And if we live in a new world, we must have a new operating system. We do. It's called faith. We're new people in a new world, operating according to the principles of faith, not the principles of this natural world. And it's very important that we keep thinking about that, because everything that we do is based, or should be based, on what God has said, done, or promised. Period. Nothing else matters. Nothing else should be of any concern. All we need to know, what his Father said concerning this. Done. That's what new creatures do. That's the way our world operates. And if you wonder why that's important, well, look at Proverbs 23:7. It says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what you think becomes very important. But I want to read this pattern that God showed me. He said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Then he says, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. Then he says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you'll have whatsoever you say. So if your thinking is wrong, your heart is going to be wrong, and the words that come out of your mouth are going to be wrong, and everything about your life will be because you spoke it into existence. That's why we have to change the way we think. Now go to Ephesians 2. I really, you know, on your own time, you can read it from verse 1, but because of time, I'm going to pick up at verse 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, here we go. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. You got to see this in the Amplified Bible. But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him, for it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you're saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. And he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him, him being Jesus, in the heavenly sphere, by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor in his kindness and goodness of heart toward us in Christ Jesus. For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you were saved, delivered from judgment, made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is a gift of God. Not because of works, not the fulfillment of the law's demands, lest any man should boast. It is not the result of what anyone can possibly do, so no one can pride himself in it or take glory for it. For we are God's handiwork, His workmanship. Listen to this. Recreated in Christ Jesus. Recreated. Born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. See, God, He didn't just create us to look good. He created us for a purpose. He has a plan for us. What plan? Good works. What good works? Well, what did He first say? Be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish the earth. Bring it under control. Have dominion over everything. Walk in authority over everything. Well, what else did He say? Let's think about that. How about lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? How about casting out demons? What about walking in love and forgiveness? Are those bad works? No, they're good works. And He put us here so that we could accomplish those things. And He equipped us to do it. Amen. You have to know, you have to think, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus to love unconditionally. Amen. Because mere humans can't do it. Right. they don't even try. It's like, I already know I can't do that, so I'm just going to hate you. Okay? That's, that I know I can do. Okay? But we're new creatures. We live in a new world. And in our world, we love unconditionally. We forgive quickly and completely because that's representative of our Father. We can't do... This says that we're God's workmanship, we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has ordained before ordained that I should walk in them. That means if I'm not walking it out, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't be a light to the world if I'm not acting like I'm a light. I can't do it. I have to be living it. Probably a better way to say it. Thank you, Lord. I have to be living it before I can give it and show it. If I'm not living it, I can't do it. I mean, I could try, but everybody will know He doesn't do this all the time. My wife and I talk about this often. It's like, you know, you're a teacher and the principal goes in for an observation and you've never really taught the material. But you want to just act like your children know. Well, guess what? Principal knows. They know right away, this isn't what this person normally does. And we don't want to be found like that because the world, you know, it's amazing to me when I think about it because so many people in the world get scammed, you know, with money frauds and things. But they can spot a hypocritical person in a moment. Especially if it's one coming out talking about what thus saith the Lord. They took one look at you and they say, uh-uh. Definition time. Okay? I looked up workmanship in the concordance. Guess what it means? What do you think it means? It's not a trick question. That which has been made. Okay. I mean, I thought it was going to be this really deep definition. No, workmanship means that which had been made. So we were just made by God. But I also looked up created. Because that we are his workmanship created. You ready for this? There are several definitions, but the Holy Ghost highlighted two. First one, make habitable. God made us habitable. Well, understand that, you know, what does habitable mean? Okay. He made us so that we could be lived in. Because his intention was to live in us. So how could he create a being that couldn't be lived in? We don't think about that. God's original plan, when he said, let us make man, he said, no, we have to make man so that we can live in them if they let us. See, the problem is we know we're habitable because we allow other stuff sometimes to live in us. But we were made habitable because God's plan was to live in us. Look at John 17. You go there quickly. Or you can follow because I'm going to share in the Message Bible. Jesus was praying for us. He was getting ready to go to the cross. He said, I'm praying not only for them, I'm going from verse 20 to 23, but also for those who will believe in me because of them and their witness about me. The goal is for all of them to become one heart and mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so that they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. The same glory you gave me, I gave them. So they'll be as unified and together as we are. I in them, and you in me. Watch this. And give this godless world evidence that you've sent me and loved them in the same way you've loved me. Folks, God made us habitable so that the Godhead could reside in us, so that when the people, this world sees us, they not only see God, but they know that God sent us and that he loves them the same way he loves us. And he couldn't do that unless he made us, gave us the capacity, the capability of allowing him to live in us. Amen. We have to understand that we're his workmanship. He made us so that he could live in us. But there's still more. There's still more. It says that we were created in Christ. One of the definitions for create or created, take the form of. Take the form of. He made us so that he could live in us and so that we could take the form of Christ. So we can look like Christ. See, when you go back to Genesis, Adam and Eve had absolute dominion and authority. And they were covered with the glory of God. Anything that looked at them saw who? God. So when they spoke, it was the same as God speaking. So everything was in subjection to them. Everything. Because they saw God. Then something horrible happened. They sinned. And it was more happened than just they ate from the wrong tree. No, the minute they did that, the glory of God left them. And now, the rest of creation, when they looked at them, they saw them. They didn't see God. Big problem. The animals that they used to feed out of their hand now want to feed on their hand. Okay. What? They don't see God anymore. They see two beings that they've never seen before. Adam and Eve couldn't even stand and look at each other. They said, "You're naked." And they wouldn't cover themselves immediately. What? The glory of God left. But that verse in the Amplified Bible said, we have been recreated in Christ Jesus. Why? So the glory of God can again be seen when folks look at us. Because we're his workmanship. And we've allowed, when we receive Jesus Christ, we allowed him to come in. We've allowed him to just move in. The Godhead. The same let us bunch. And so now, when we walk around, folks recognize us as being the Godhead. Amen. And when we speak, because we're not bound by the principles of this natural world, everything that God wants will happen. Amen. When his people speak it. But if his people aren't thinking about it, if his people don't believe it, it'll never happen, even though it's true. That's why we need to be renewing our minds. So we'll understand exactly who we are and what it means. This world, whether you understand or not, this world is important to God. He created it. And he was not going to allow it to just go to pieces. He did something about it. He put us here. And we have to understand our purpose here. It's not about getting together and, you know, having a good time one with another. I mean, that's good, but that's not why we are here. We are here to bring God into a godless world. Period. When they look at us, they should immediately feel the love of God. Immediately. Well, didn't we read that we should love each other deeply and fully? Because that's how people will know that we're his disciples, when they see the love. See, we want them to receive the word. We're these mighty word containers, and we want everybody to know, I know what I'm talking about. Well, if they don't see the love, they're not going to receive anything you have to say. So they have to receive the love. The first thing you want them to see is the love. Then they'll hear what you have to say. Because you're saying it out of genuine, godly love. We are his workmanship. He created us so that he could live in us and reform us back into the image of Christ. That's why I so love the song Pastor Clinton wrote, Your Reflection. Because that's, but it's a, your reflection, let me be. Well, he has let us be his reflection. And if we're not, it's because we choose not to be. It's just like when we moved into our home, we signed all the paperwork. They gave us the keys. Now we have a choice to make. We can move in or live out the car. You say, well, that's just silly. Of course it is. You mean, I have the keys, I have the paperwork, I have this nice big comfortable space to live, and I'm not going to go in there? That's just stupid. Well, God made us so that he, the Godhead in all its glory, hallelujah, can live in us. And we don't have any monthly payments. He paid it in full. But we foreclose on it. Why? Because I can't go to the places I used to go? Because I can't talk like I used to talk? Because I can't have more than one girlfriend? Why? We're laughing, but that folks make those choices. We were created by God so that he can live in us and mold us into the image of Christ And we're resisting. I don't understand it. Maybe you do, but I don't. I didn't understand it when I was resisting. Show you how pitiful I was. I knew what I was doing wasn't right, but I didn't want to do what everybody was telling me was right. And my excuse was, well, look at all these people. They're supposed to be Christians. Well, that excuse didn't go away when I received Christ. There are still believers that are walking, not acting like they are believers, getting drawn into stuff for whatever reason. Why does that happen? We haven't fully renewed our minds. So we start thinking about the wrong things. And we allow the wrong things to fill our heart, and that comes out. And it repels people. See, it's one thing when a sinner does something. Folks expect it because they're a sinner. But when a member of the church does the exact same thing, the world treats it as an abomination. Why? Because we're supposed to know better. And they're absolutely right. We are. And we're supposed to show that we know better through our actions, not our words. That's why it's harder for them to accept our apologies, because they're like, you should have never done that in the first place. Right? And again, they're right. We shouldn't have. But if we don't keep our nose to the grindstone, so to speak, as far as what God has said and is saying, we'll miss it. Because renewing our mind is a continual daily process. See, I can't renew my mind today for tomorrow. I have to have my mind renewed today to get through today. See, is anyone other than me ever read something and three or four people came and said, see, that's what they need to know? No, the first person that needed to know it was me. Okay, I've shared with you before, everything that I say standing before you, I apply to me first. And you folks, you come out in the lobby and you say, boy, you know, my toes were stepped on. Yeah, well, God was using a sledgehammer on mine while I was preparing. Okay. You know, he just eased it so I could walk around in front of you. But whatever I say to you, I look at me first. First. Because if I don't, I fall into another category. Hypocrite. And see, I can't be a hypocrite in this area and not in that area. Either I am or I am not. And I'm choosing not to be. So whether I like it or not, if it applies to me, it applies to me. We have to renew our mind every day. And this is why, I'm going to read because I get so excited, I just go off. But think about this. When the world looks at us and sees God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, because they live in us, then they'll be able to receive Jesus. Why? Because they will now see him in us. They'll see him. They'll also receive forgiveness. They won't feel worthless anymore. They'll receive love that they never knew they could experience before. And they'll be restored back to a place they thought they could never get to again. Why? Because they encountered a believer. They encountered someone who understood that they're God's handiwork, created, recreated in Christ Jesus to do good works that God ordained beforehand that we should walk in. That's why it's so important And that's why I get excited, because I see everybody doing what they heard. I do. I see you. I see all of you, and I refuse to see it any other way. I see all of you going out and acting on everything you hear taught. And I see you in front of people, and I see people with tears streaming down their faces saying things like, I never knew it could be like that. I didn't think God could ever forgive me. I didn't even really think there was a God. But I'm feeling all this love come from you. And it has to come from God. No human being could make me feel like this. I see that happening. That's when the people will start to come. And only then. They're not interested in great orators. They're really not. They want to do that, they could turn on BET or some other channel and get entertained. No, they want to see true love. They want to experience true love. They have enough emotion. They're not impressed by emotion. They want the real thing. But that's all. I'm not going to sing today. Ain't nothing like the real thing. Okay. But that's what they want. They don't want it. They already live in a world of phonies. They don't need a phony church. They need the real thing. Remember I told you we're going back to... God, did you put up that scripture for me, 2 Corinthians 5? If any man be in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. I need you to say, the past is finished and gone. Just leave it up for a little bit, guys. God would not leave me alone about this. I actually thought I said, God, you give me two messages? And I thought, you know, since we'll be on vacation next 2 weeks, he was giving me something so, you know, I wouldn't have to think about it while I was on vacation. Wrong. He gave it to me, and I'm going to read in a moment. I'm going to read exactly what he said. What I do when I take notes, I color code things. And when it's something that God said to me, I put it in red. So because I want to remember to tell you, no, this isn't anything that I thought. This isn't my summation. This is express mail from God. And I was sitting down. Came home, I said, Deacon Phillips, I'm like, Pastor Ed and I had a meeting yesterday, and I came back and I'm like, it's like God has taken me in two different directions here. That's never happened before. And she's always steady with that. You'll know. And I'm like, yeah, I will. But when you're going through it, it can be a little uncomfortable because you want to go in the right direction. You know, you don't want to misspeak to the people. You want them to hear what God wants them to hear. And so I said, look, I'm just going to sit down and start. And Lord, you know, these fingers are yours. So whatever buttons you want me to push, I'm pushing. And everything, I'm listening the whole time. I tune everything out. And I just hear him saying things, and I'm just recording. This is what he said to me. Tell me to read this again. For if any man be in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. He said, there are some of you in here that are being held hostage and at times even being tormented by memories of your past. He said that some of you have suffered physical abuse that you just can't seem to shake. Others have been emotionally abused. Others have been severely wronged. Some have even done things, and you're afraid that you'll be exposed. Then at 12:30, he said, some have done things since they have received Christ and are gripped by condemnation. You keep reliving those circumstances over and over and over. It has affected the way you see yourself. Excuse me. It has affected the way you see others and it has negatively affected the way you see yourself. He said to tell you that you will never walk in or do those good works he's ordained for you until you are willing and obedient to let go of all your past. To just let it go. Well, but you don't know what happened. I don't need to know. And neither do you. Why? It's finished and gone. Everything has become new. So as far as God is concerned, it's like that thing had never happened. Would you put the last one up for me, please, gentlemen? Because there's something in this verse, in this psalm, that we overlook. Well, put me, I've overlooked it. But I think it was about 2 o'clock this morning, and I was just, it came, and I'm reading it, and I'm reading it, and I'm like, I'm not seeing this, Lord. Then all of a sudden, just flip it to the next slide, please. It was like a neon light that went off. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And the last one, please. He restoreth my soul. That shot out like a neon light. He restoreth my soul. He repairs my memories. He takes away the heartache. He heals my emotions. We don't think about that. We read over it. We need to understand that God knew things were going to happen, and he told us, I'll restore your soul. Why? I don't want you remembering about all that bad stuff. It will stop you from doing what I've told you to do because you won't feel worthy. There's some folks that are molested, they feel unclean, like it's their fault. It's not your fault. It was the enemy coming to steal, kill, and destroy you. But Jesus said, watch this. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Well, I believe it's in John 3:8 or 8:3, where Jesus said, he's come to destroy the works of the devil. So since we are sent in the same way he was sent, we are come to destroy the works of the devil. So now if you're the devil and you know that, you're going to try and destroy the person before they destroy what you're doing. So he comes with stuff and keeps you remembering it, keeps you thinking about it, so you're not thinking about who you are in Christ. So you're not thinking that I have the Godhead living in me. I've been recreated into the form of God. I have the original authority that Adam and Eve had in the garden. He doesn't want us to think that. So he attacks our memories with stuff. And we won't even get started and do. Yeah, we'll keep coming to church. And we'll sing the happy songs. But inside, we're still pain. We're still hurting. We still haven't let things go. And God said, this day is the day of your deliverance. Listen to this. The Amplified Bible says, he refreshes and restores my life, myself. The Wycliffe translation says, he converted my soul. When I hear that, when I read that, I thought about what he said to Peter. When you're converted, strengthen the brethren. And it says, he converted my soul. So that means he knew something was going to happen to cause me to have these memories. He's getting rid of them. The complete Jewish Bible says, he restores my inner person. And when your inner person is restored, you feel good about yourself. Okay? You know, how it is when you're so tormented on the inside, it's like you can't even breathe. The Message Bible says, you let me catch my breath. You let me catch my breath. And the voice kind of sums it all up. In the voice, it says, he makes me whole again. Whatever innocence was taken from you, he makes you whole again. Whatever pain, he makes you whole. Whatever you've done, he makes you whole. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter what happened. You're in Christ, he made you whole again. Why? Because he said so. Why did he say it? Because, oh, how he loved you. That's why. And he's not about to let his children stay in that state. So they're going to play a song. Name of the song is I Will Restore. And while that song is playing, you decided that you're not going to be held captive by this thing anymore, I need you to come down. And I'm going to lay hands on you, and you're going to be free forever. Forever. Not because I'm all that, because my Father said so.